We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome into Candlestick Chronicles, a 49ers podcast on the Blue Wire Podcast Network. I'm Kyle Madsen, and I write about the 49ers over at NinersWire.com, part of the USA Today Sports Media Group. Joining me shortly is Chris Biederman. He covers the 49ers for the Sacramento Bee. And we have a preseason game to preview. Recording this Thursday afternoon, the 49ers kick off in about 24 and a half hours. Their preseason kicks off against the Green Bay Packers at Levi Stadium. We're going to chat about the game. Things we're looking forward to. Talk about Trey Lance. Talk about who's going to play, who's not going to play. Let's get into it.
Hey, this is George Kittle, and you're listening to Candlestick Chronicles.
Kittle in Denver territory! Kittle is going to go! Touchdown!
Bosa's got him, and a sack him back inside the 30-yard line. Nick Bosa drops Aaron Rodgers for a 13-yard loss.
Quick pass caught by Kittle. He dives, and he's in! Touchdown!
Historic day at Levi Stadium tomorrow, Chris, or today if you're listening to this on Friday. Trey Lance's first ever preseason start. That's big time.
It's going to be one of those moments where we're all going to remember where we were, who we were watching it with,
yep.
What we were eating.
Yep.
It's just, you know, these nights don't come around all that often.
It's like it's the catch. Barry Bonds' 756th home run, Michael Phelps' gold medal, is it eighth, and
the Warriors title in 2015,
and now this.
Yeah. No, I mean, look, it's a preseason. I think it's pretty well known how I feel about the preseason overall. But Kyle Shanahan is going to play some of his guys, including Trey Lance, and I think, you know, there's going to be value in this preseason. Maybe in the first two games, Kyle Shanahan said he wants to play guys, starters in the first and third preseason game and not so much in the second preseason game in Minnesota because they're going to be playing, they're going to be participating in joint practices with the Vikings before those games, and those are going to be more important. But, you know, Trey Lance, probably a series or two, I would guess. And, you know, I think that what's going to be interesting to me about it is, you know, maybe Brandon Ayuk plays. I don't think Debo Samuel is going to play. I don't think Trent Williams is going to play. Mike McGlinchey, probably not. George Kittle, probably not. Like, Kyle Shanahan is definitely more progressive in terms of, you know, load management and the way he approaches that type of stuff. So, like, yeah, he'll want Trey Lance to get his feet wet and try to get in some sort of game type rhythm. But I don't know if there's going to be anything that we take away from it aside from, like, this player's hurt or this player, they came out of it healthy. Like, that's ultimately going to be the most important thing.
Mm-hmm.
Trey Lance does need reps. Like, I'd never argue that. I just don't know how valuable these reps are going to be. And I think Kyle Shanahan will probably indicate to us how valuable these reps are by how much Trey Lance plays, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I almost, in practice, he's getting like 12 to 14 to 20-ish throws per practice, it looks like.
Yeah, I would probably say 30 to 40 plays.
Right. So I don't think he's runs. I don't think he's going to bank 30 to 40 plays. He's not going to play half a game, but it wouldn't surprise me if they go, depending on if their first series, they go 11 plays and they seven runs and four passes and they look pretty good. I wouldn't be surprised if they pull him out. Like, hey, good job. You did it. But if they go 3-and-out on the first series, I don't think Shanahan's going to go, well, I planned him one series and he handed the ball off twice and made a bad throw, so he's done. If there's a pitch count, I bet it's like 12 to 15 plays, where either one long series or two shorter ones. That's what I'm guessing.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm curious to see, like, you know, beyond Trey Lance, because he is the story of the offseason, or at least the story of the summer, just like what some of the rookies like look like.
Can I one last point on Trey Lance real quick before we move on?
Absolutely.
The thing I'm looking for, however much he does play, is his, like, the accuracy stuff is all I care about. Because, like you said, it's vanilla. It's no game plan. So if reads are going to be weird because they're not game planning for anything, but if he's got somebody open over the middle, can he make that throw? Can he hit somebody outside the numbers? Like, can he just do those little, like, that's more what I'm going to be looking for. Doing those in a live game situation where he can be tackled. Where if somebody gets in the backfield and he does go down, it's not, okay, now he's extending the play. So that's, I do think there's something to glean from that, just in terms of putting him on some sort of trajectory heading into the regular season.
I would imagine, particularly with the starting tackles not being in there, it's not going to be like 7-step drop.
Sure.
50 yards. Like, it's,
which, but that's the, I know he can do that.
Right. I'm just like, I do think it's going to be, the passes that he throws are probably going to be like in and out of his hands within 2 seconds.
Yeah.
You know, like predetermined, like if you see this matchup over here, this is where you're going.
Yeah.
That type of stuff. Just so, you know, he can't, like, I think finding a rhythm in a game scenario when your blood's, you know, your blood pressure's at a different level, or your heart rate's at a different level, I guess is what I meant to say. You might be a little bit more anxious than you would be in a practice setting. Obviously, this is going to be on TV in a mostly full stadium. Like, it's just going to feel a little bit different than practice for Trey Lance. So, like, getting rid of those jitters and just being in rhythm and getting that initial awkwardness out of the way before week one, I think ultimately is the most important thing. So, like, I'm expecting whatever passing plays he runs to be quick hitters. You know, and maybe one of them's a screen to Danny Gray or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Like just stuff like that. I think that's kind of, that's what I'm expecting. And I would be, to your point, like if it's one short series, I would expect Lance to play two. I would be surprised if Lance played more than two series, unless both those series were 3-and-out. But even still, I would not expect him to play more than two.
Right. At some point you run up against the risk reward of it.
Right. Right. And the more
falling onto his ankle or knee or something.
And the more you play, the more backups are in the game on both sides. And the more, you know, you don't want Trey Lance in there against some third string linebacker for Green Bay who's going to play past the whistle and, you know, roll into an ankle or something.
Right.
You know, so Kyle Shanahan's going to be eager to get him out. And Kyle Shanahan's always said, like, he's not a fan of the preseason. He would much rather have zero games than four.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, with three now, like, he's more a proponent of there being two. Like, there is some value to preseason for Kyle Shanahan, but I don't think a lot of it is for Trey Lance. I think a lot of it's just for, like, the rookies and the other back end of the roster guys.
So let's talk about those rookies then.
Yeah.
I'm fascinated to see what Spencer Burford does at right guard. I'm
right to the interior offensive line.
Yes.
Like a real football guy.
Yeah, I'm a big football guy. You know this. You know, and I can't, and honestly, no, here's my, hang on. I'm going to do a real football guy thing. I'm interested in watching Spencer Burford tomorrow, but I really won't be able to get a lot until we see the all 22. So I'll be watching, but I'm not taking anything away until I get the all 22 look.
Yeah, Friday will be fun, but Monday is really when we get after it, when the all 22
starts. When the grinding starts.
I really want to see how Spencer Burford's feet hold up in pass pro. You know, see
how are his hands firing?
Right. How quickly can he fire his hands in the running game?
No, but seriously, like when we talk about Trey Lance, I think a big part of his success this year, a big part of any quarterback's success, is the players in front of him. And I want to see Spencer Burford play football.
Yeah, that's totally fair. Kyle Shanahan's been a little bit weird in terms of how he's talked about the guard battle, and
he's just been a little bit weird. He's a weird guy.
Well, coaches are just weird guys in general.
Yes.
But like, so the question he's been asked a couple different times in a couple different ways is like, is Daniel Brunskill still part of this right guard competition? Because Brunskill's snaps have come exclusively at center, rotating. Why am I blanking on his name?
Jake Brendel.
Rotating with Jake Brendel. Thank you Hard so to forget. Much. Yeah, just a brain fart right in the middle of a podcast. Totally ideal. He's been
it's
rotating
like
with
Michael Jake... Jordan.
He's been rotating with Jake Brendel at center, but Shanahan said, "Oh, we have enough confidence in Brunskill that we know he can play right guard at any point." And it's like, well, if he could play right, if he were as in the mix as you're making it sound like, you know, you could afford to give Spencer Burford a day off with the starters and have him work with the second team and at least sprinkle Brunskill in at right guard with the first team at some point throughout training camp. But Burford's gotten every single first team rep at right guard. And given that he's a fourth round pick, which is, you know, not super high for an interior offensive lineman, but like if you draft an offensive lineman in the fourth round, like it's reasonable for that guy to be in the mix to start.
Yeah,
they're treating,
especially when they don't have anyone.
Right. They're kind of treating Spencer Burford like he's winning this job. But Kyle Shanahan isn't saying anything publicly. And I don't know if because ultimately, like if Brunskill is going to be the starting right guard week one of the regular season, or if he just doesn't want to gas up the rookie publicly with what he says, because we know coaches are hesitant when it comes to talking about rookies in press conference settings, because, you know, you don't want to anoint them before they've really earned it. And you know, Spencer Burford, while he's getting all those reps, I'm sure the 49ers are saying, well, we want him to keep getting better. He hasn't earned the right for us to talk about him as a starter yet, which might be why Kyle Shanahan's been a little bit sheepish when talking about that role. But yeah, to your point, like Spencer Burford, I mean, if he's good, like he has super long arms physically, he is what you'd want for a Kyle Shanahan offensive lineman. Like he played tackle in college. Obviously the requisite athleticism is there because, you know, you want the guards to be able to move in space while also having the power. And given that Burford is a big, like tackle sized offensive lineman in terms of his length, like like if you think about it, he has the traits, right, that Kyle Shanahan's looking for. So yeah, like you want to see how he does. You want to see if he allows any sacks, because I think if there's a concern, it's probably about him as a pass protector more than a run blocker, right? You want to see how much he plays.
Yeah.
If Spencer Burford plays
a huge. Yeah.
If he plays two or three series, then you're like, oh, they're not worried about him. They don't feel like totally. He needs a ton of reps. Like they're pretty good with Burford. If Burford plays a whole first half, then you're like, all right, they really needed, they threw him in there and wanted to see him play, you know, 30, 40 snaps, whatever it is. So they have pitch counts for all these guys, but so much of preseason is in addition to like what it looks like, it's also how much are they asking of these guys?
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, some guys like the starters, they know what they have in Trent Williams. He's probably not going to play. Like they don't need to see anything from Trent.
Right.
But there are different variations of that confidence level that the coaching staff will have in players. That's evident in how much they're playing.
Yeah. The one that always sticks out to me and something to keep in mind, do you remember Jordan Matthews? I think it was 2 years ago. Like didn't play, didn't even suit up for the fourth preseason game. And Shanahan had just had a bunch of glowing remarks about Jordan Matthews and how he was doing all this stuff right. And he doesn't suit up for the fourth preseason game. And it was like, oh man, like he made it. I'm pretty sure it was Jordan Matthews. And then he didn't make the final cut. And there was, yeah. And I remember because I wrote about it, it's like, wow, this guy didn't play. And then didn't make the team. But to that point, I think now with the three games, and especially with the Niners playing the three games in 13 days, the first one, the 12th, the last one, the 25th, with the joint practice in the middle, I think we will be able to glean quite a bit from game one, certainly, but definitely from game two in terms of how the 49ers feel about certain players.
Yeah, I would think the guys who don't play in game two are the guys you feel comfortable about making the roster.
Yeah.
With the exception of maybe some rookies who aren't going to get a ton of burn in those joint practices, but I think all those guys will. Like, so if we just go through it, like guys that are probably going to play a lot against the Packers, I mean, you, Danny Gray, Spencer Burford, Trey Sermon, Ty Davis Price, Jordan Mason, you know, like these are all guys, at least on offense, that you want to see where they're at. And you sort of get a feel, like, with the way Kyle Shanahan calls plays and, you know, the way guys, particularly like skill guys, are targeted in the passing game, or even running backs are, you know, divvied out carries in the running game. Like, you kind of get an idea about how Kyle Shanahan feels about these guys. Right. Like, if Danny Gray is being force fed the ball, Shanahan's like, all right, I feel comfortable enough with Danny Gray to where our offense can function if we're designing plays for him.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And if Danny Gray is in, you know, I'm not saying he's in the doghouse, but if he were in the doghouse, you're not going to see a bunch of bubble screens and quick slants and go routes to Danny Gray. Right. So I think Danny Gray's had a good camp. Shanahan's certainly tough on receivers. Right. But like, you know, you want to see exactly where Shanahan has Danny Gray in his mind in terms of how much he trusts him right away. Because there is an element of trust. Like, you don't want to even in the preseason, if you don't think someone is capable of getting targeted in the passing game or getting runs, like, you're not going to give them to him because you want your offense to be on the field as long as possible so you can evaluate all these guys.
Right.
Right. So you don't want to, like, oh, Danny Gray's been terrible and I don't trust him at all, but I'm going to force feed him. Like, if Danny Gray's bad, then the entire offense is going to get off the field and limit your opportunities to evaluate your guys.
Sure.
So I think that, like, how Shanahan divvies out the roles and calls plays is going to be telling. Potentially to let us know, like, where these guys are at in their development, in contrast to, like, how much they're playing and whether or not Shanahan has trust in them and needs to see anything from them in the preseason.
I'm really excited to see Ty Davis Price because we haven't really gotten a chance because in practice they're not tackling. And I think one of the big things with him is going to be his ability to break tackles or run through contact. And that's not something we're going to get until game time. So Ty Davis Price and then Trey Sermon, too, just to see, because last year in the preseason, it felt like, man, Sermon just doesn't look great. He looked slow and just kind of indecisive.
Right.
And that it turned out that's kind of the runner he was. Well, he's had a little bit of a resurgence in camp. So I'm between Ty Davis Price, Trey Sermon, and I think we know a little bit what the Niners are going to get with Jeff Wilson. So Davis Price and Sermon are the two guys that I'm excited to see in a, not so much to say like, oh, wow, he's going to have a huge year because of this, but just to see in a game setting, what are they going to bring to the table?
Yeah, I would imagine like Elijah Mitchell is probably not going to play, or if he does, maybe one series.
Yeah.
And I would say the same for Jeff Wilson Jr. Like Kyle Shanahan trusts those guys and doesn't need a whole lot from them. But yeah, Sermon and Davis Price and Jordan Mason and Jamichael Hasty to a certain extent, even though he does have a lot of trust from Kyle Shanahan as sort of like the third down scat back.
Right.
I think Sermon and Price and Mason are going to get a ton of carries. And I think with Sermon, you know, he has been better this year. And I think he took to heart what happened last year in that, mm-hmm. you know, it was, there were injury stuff. There was injury stuff early in the season that led to him not playing a lot, but also like the way he was playing didn't give Kyle Shanahan a lot of urgency to get him back in there and give him carries. Right.
Yeah. He straight up got to start against Green Bay, got a full workload and didn't do enough to even earn carries moving forward.
Yeah. Yeah.
He had zero role.
Right. So yeah, you like, you want to see that decisiveness. I think his body is probably in better shape this year than it was last year. And so, you know, it's going to be really interesting because running back's one of those positions where like you could see them keeping only four halfbacks, which they've typically done, but also given the amount of talent that they have and resources they've invested there, could they keep five? And, you know, because if you keep five halfbacks, you're insulating yourselves from injury in a way that you haven't since Kyle Shanahan took over. And look, like it feels like every year Kyle Shanahan's been there, somebody's gotten called up from the practice squad, right?
Is there any chance they take a guy that, I mean, I guess it would be maybe like Mason, because he's the only one that hasn't really played. Is there any chance that maybe his workload is less so they can try and get him to the practice squad?
I don't think Kyle Shanahan ever does that. Like, he's not this like stash a guy, make sure we get him to the practice squad. Like, you know, they're fine at finding running backs. It's not like some undrafted guy that they pick up is going to be some like, oh, mega steal and we got to keep him out.
We thought they were going to do that. I had a couple of people mentioned that on Twitter, which is why I brought it up. But remember, I think it was, what was Jeff Wilson Jr.'s rookie year, 2019? So it's preseason 2020. It was like, or was it 2018 is Wilson's rookie year in 2019? Anyway, it doesn't matter. It was his second year. And the thought was like, hey, he might not make the team. And if they want to get him on the practice squad, they probably shouldn't play him in the preseason. And then he went out and dominated in the preseason. And they wound up getting him to the practice squad anyways. Or getting him on the roster. I forget exactly what happened, but
every team has players like that.
Yes.
Every team has like three or four players that play pretty well in the preseason. And fans are like, oh my God, we got to give him a roster spot because there's no way he gets to the practice squad. And then we realize that every team has guys like that. And a lot of these guys just get to the practice squad. Like, it happens all the time. So, you know, one of the things I'm most leery about with the preseason, and not necessarily this one in general, but like the Marcus Rush thing will always live in my head as like,
this guy
had like four sacks in four preseason games and like, he's got to make the team. It's like, he's going against practice squad guys, insurance salesmen, like whatever.
Corey Sheets.
Yeah. Like, you know, it's, these coaches have a very good idea of where these players are at, and a lot of their opinions aren't going to change based solely on what happens like late in a game in the preseason.
How often does a player get cut at final cuts and then go on that year in particular to have a just monster year?
Yeah, I don't.
Maybe it happens more often than I think, but I can't remember the last time the Niners cut a guy and then I'm watching games on Sundays and going, oh, wow, he was in camp with the Niners this year and he's rushing for 1,000 yards.
Yeah, no, it doesn't happen. What's more likely to happen is like the Jonas Griffith situation. Your guy, Jonas.
Love Jonas.
Linebacker for the Broncos. I think he's going to start this year.
The greatest athlete to ever come out of Indiana State University.
Mm-hmm. that's a good bit.
There's somebody listening. It's like Larry Bird. That's a joke. Go ahead.
but like the NFL knows which guys are actual dudes and or which guys are actual NFL players and which guys aren't. Like these, there are personnel departments who have write-ups on every single player on a 90-man roster throughout the league, right? So there are scouting reports on all these guys, personnel guys pour over tape from all these preseason games. And if they have joint practices, that tape's available, right? Like if your team has joint, like the Niners and Vikings are both going to have tape on Niners and Vikings players from those practices. They know who's like actually an NFL player and who isn't. And a lot of times that's not determined based on what happens in the fourth quarter of a preseason game.
Correct.
So I just want, you know, I don't want to like harp on it too much because sometimes there are good stories that come out of the preseason and guys will make teams based on how they play in preseason games. But just like the Marcus Rush situation or the Corey Sheets or whatever else, there are a lot of these like, you know, Brock Purdy might complete 90% of his passes in the preseason.
Right. Right.
But like, it's not going to change the Niners quarterback depth chart.
Right. Yeah. A lot of that.
Barring something crazy, right? Like the thing, that's just not how it works.
The thing to watch in the fourth quarter for me and what I pay attention, it goes back a little bit to what we were talking about with who's playing and who's not. If Talanoa Hufanga is playing in the fourth quarter of preseason games, it might tell you something about what's going on at strong safety. Or vice versa. If Tarvarius Moore is playing a bunch in the fourth quarter of these games, it's like, wow, well, he's probably not starting.
Yeah, or like, oh, is he maybe not making the team? Because there is an element, too, of them like,
yeah,
we like this guy. He's not going to play for us, but we want him to put some tape out there to you know, latch on somewhere else.
Yeah.
That does happen.
Yeah. So that's what I'm... But, I mean, honestly, it all comes back to... I don't want to say my interest level. My interest level will be different when Lance is no longer playing. And it's not to glean. Well, and it's not to, it's more.
That's nicely put.
Yeah. It's not because I'm going to glean that Trey Lance is either going to be an MVP or he's going to stink or the Niners made the right pick or they made the wrong pick. It's just like, we've been talking about this dude since late January as the starter.
I mean, we've been talking about this dude since March of
2021. Sure, but as a, it's like the post Jimmy Garoppolo era started at the end of the NFC Championship game. And now we finally get to see Lance play in a game. And there's just a level of like, God, finally to that.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
I'm excited for it. What do you want from me, man?
Yeah.
I know you're more excited for the joint practices and the scrimmages against the Vikings, but
yeah, I won't be going, sadly.
I know. Sorry, but, man.
It's okay.
That wasn't a shot. That was a you being a football guy and getting more from practice than you do from games.
Yeah. I mean, joint practices, the intensity is just at a way different level.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the teams warm up and then they'll do their little individual drills. And then it's like right into like a lot of one-on-one stuff. And you get, a certain built-in level of intensity from the one-on-one stuff, from like pass rushers going up against offensive linemen, you know, receivers going up against DBs, linebackers going up against tight ends and running backs. Like, there's an intensity to those drills, and then sometimes that'll carry over to the full team sessions, right? And like, there will be dudes who fight in the individual drills, and then when, you know, 22 players are on the field, like, that fight gets exponentially bigger, right?
Yeah.
So that's what's fun about it. One of the last year, and this is a complete aside from the preseason, we'll get back to talking about guys on defense I want to watch, but I'll never forget Kaiser White, who was the linebacker for the Chargers last year. I think he's somewhere else this year.
Kevin White's brother.
Of course.
49ers legend Kevin White.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He was just talking a lot of shit at practice when the Niners and Chargers had joint practices in Costa Mesa last year. And like, a lot of Niners guys are just kind of like, whatever, you know, what are you doing? And they were doing, I forget if it was 7-on-7 or full team. He was just talking a lot of shit. And like, there were kind of like scuffles, and it was just kind of like disrupting the flow of practice. Kyle Shanahan walked into the Chargers defensive huddle and put his finger in Kaiser White's chest and like said something to him. And like, I was kind of expecting a Chargers player to maybe like push Kyle Shanahan, or at least like, hey man, get out of our huddle. Like, you know, you're not on our team. And like, I don't know if the Chargers players were like surprised, but no one did anything. And then we didn't really hear anything from Kaiser White the rest of the practice. Like, it not to the level as it was happening before that. So it was just like Kyle Shanahan just, I don't know if he like punked him, but he just had enough gravitas as a head coach not to even just walked in. Like, he's not a big dude. Kyle Shanahan's a skinny guy, just walks into an opponent's huddle and just like says stuff to Kaiser White. I was like, wow, this was,
I feel like
not seen a head coach. I could see Jim Harbaugh doing that, but it turning into a fight.
Right. I feel like if you get yelled at by a dude in Yeezys, you have to take him seriously.
Well, he has to wear Nikes on the practice field.
All right. So
he only wears Yeezys to the press conferences.
I thought Yeezy jumped over Jumpman. That's a stupid joke. Anyways, so are you reporting that the Chargers are bitch made and that's why they didn't make the playoffs?
I'm not reporting that. That's pure speculation. Kaiser White's on a different team, right? Eagles. Yeah, Kaiser White's on the Eagles.
I'm not following Kaiser White's career that closely.
He's on the Eagles, according to the internet.
Oh.
Anyway, guys on defense you want to watch on Friday.
Javon Kinlaw, if he plays.
Yeah, I'm expecting him to maybe play a series if he does.
Yeah, just how's he, even if it's one series, it's three snaps, how's he moving?
I think Kinlaw is going to be on ice as much as any player the Niners have.
Okay. So if it's not Javon Kinlaw, I would like to see what Drake Jackson does against. Yeah. I'm going out on a limb and picking their first draft pick. I'm just fascinated by him as a player, because you said it in the last pod, like, there's a chance that he's really, really good. Like, there's a path where he is just a dominant edge rusher because he's a freak athlete and playmaker. So I want to see him in game action.
Yeah. Like, when I said that, it's more about like projecting long-term, but I do think there's a pretty reasonable chance that he's an asset and like a very usable player as a rookie. I don't think he's going to be Alden Smith year one, but like, he's going to play. I'm guessing he plays 20, 25 snaps a game, and there's a real possibility that he's like a 6 to 8 sack guy as a rookie. And if that's what you're getting from him, like, that's enormous, right?
Right. And it's like with Lance, it's about setting that trajectory. Like, what can we expect moving forward?
Yeah.
And if he goes out there and he just gets stonewalled a bunch of times, then okay, we'll bring the expectation down a little bit. But if he goes out there and dominates, just shows a bunch of different moves, and he can turn the corner, and he just athletically fits in a football game, because there's good athletes all over the field. They're not always good at football. Right. But if his athleticism translates to games, that's where it's like, man, that's the expectation now. Like you said, 6, 7, 8 sacks in year one, which would just be a massive boost to the Niners, to the Niners pass rush.
Yeah. And I say he's like, that's possible because of like his skill set and everything, but it's also more about the defense he's joining and like, yes, what matchups he's going to get, because he's going to be the fourth most thought about pass rusher when he's out there, or at least the third, right? Like, If it's Kinlaw, Armstead, and Bosa, you're probably accounting for those other guys first before Drake Jackson, at least until he establishes himself.
Yeah.
So he might be able to get some favorable matchups there. So yeah, I'm interested to see what he looks like in game action. Sam Womack, the other guy. I more or less feel comfortable like with, you know, Ambry Thomas is a guy who played a lot at the end of last season, including the playoffs. Like, he's not your starter, but you probably feel okay about him, and I wouldn't expect him to play a ton. But Sam Womack and Deamador Lenore, I think, probably will play a lot because they want to give him reps. But Sam Womack is really interesting because I know there's like an internal belief that he's good enough to start at nickel as a rookie. Like, he could potentially overtake Darquez Dennard. And I don't know that he will, but like, there's belief that he could do that. And if he does, you know, we've talked about it a lot with him. It's like the fifth round pick magic that this team has in finding undervalued guys. Like, he fits that mold this year. So I'm curious to see what it looks like with him and how he does. He's gotten more reps at nickel recently and broken up a couple of passes the last couple of practices. So, I'm a believer in Sam Womack. Whether or not he starts at nickel kind of remains to be seen, but he's one of those guys that I think could benefit from these preseason games in a pretty substantial way.
You know who I'm looking forward to seeing?
Marcelino McCrary Ball.
My guy. I can't wait. Flying around the field, making plays. He probably plays the entire second half, depending on how they divvy up the reps. But I bet he plays a lot, and I can't wait to see him.
Don't sleep on Jeremiah Gamel either.
I would never do that. I love their strategy at linebacker. They have a good linebacking core, but they're like, we're not going to draft one, but we're going to get 5 undrafted guys, and one of them will probably be on the roster in the next year or two, at least one.
So if you really spin this forward, and I'm talking about like 9 months from now.
Okay.
You have Azeez Al-Shaair and Dre Greenlaw both entering the last year of their contracts.
Yep.
You feel pretty comfortable, barring injury, that your 5 linebackers that you keep on your 53-man roster are going to be Fred Warner, Dre Greenlaw, Azeez Al-Shaair, Oren Burks, and probably Demetrius Flanagan-Fowles?
Sure.
I would say maybe that 5th spot's up for grabs. Maybe one of the undrafted guys, Gamel or McCrary Ball, can snag that. But the 49ers probably aren't going to pay both Al-Shaair and Greenlaw after already paying Fred Warner. And if those guys are as good as we think they're going to be, and we think the Niners linebacking core has a chance to be one of the 5 or 3 best in the league, there's a chance that you're not going to re-sign both of them. So there's, yes, opportunity, right, for guys like Gamel and McCrary Ball, like Al-Shaair was, an undrafted guy, to get a lot of playing time in 2023. And so the foundation for that might be starting now. Like, even if both those guys end up on the practice squad, or, you know, like Jonas Griffith traded to another team, mm-hmm, for a draft pick because they're actual NFL players and the Niners simply don't have room. Like, that starts, you know, in the first preseason game. So that'll be interesting to see, because I do think they're optimistic about developing those guys.
Yeah, why wouldn't they be?
Right.
Their 3 starting linebackers are a 3rd round pick, a 5th round pick, and an undrafted guy.
Right.
And they might have the best linebacking core in the league.
Yeah. That's a good point.
Wild. Wild.
So yeah, if you know,
linebackers if you don't matter.
If you think about 2023, and I think that's the context to watch McCrary Ball and Gamel potentially.
Yeah. The thing I always look for in preseason, Because again, does it matter on the scoreboard? Certainly not. What? You're laughing.
I'm laughing at the group chat.
Oh, I'm not. I'm not looking at my phone because I'm dialed into the pod.
Yeah, no, you're a better podcaster than me. My apologies.
No.
Shouts to Nick Wagner.
We're our favorite cast member. I just who's trying? I think that matters, especially when it comes to like practice squad guys. And not that we're gonna track practice squad guys on the pod all year, but we've seen the Niners with their injury situation have to dip into their practice squad a lot the last couple of years. So it's like, who's trying? And then is there anybody who can put themselves on the map? Because sometimes a guy's just not a great practice player, but gets into games and is just different. And is there anybody, especially in the first game and a little bit in the second one, is there anyone that just stands out? Like, man, this guy's playing against third stringers, but he is by far the best player on the field.
Right.
That's that. So there's, it's interesting. And the Niners have a lot of really good depth this year, where I think it would, I think they're favored by 2.5. It wouldn't surprise me if they cover that comfortably.
You had the audacity to bring up the betting line of a preseason game on this podcast.
It's a long way to get there, but I did.
I really hope, just for the sanity and mental health of all of our listeners, to just be very cautious when betting on preseason games.
Look, I think Nate Sudfeld's a quality backup. Get some Trey Lance.
Yeah.
Brock Purdy. Got a very deep defense. I just think the Packers' third string quarterback is going to have a hard time moving the ball.
Sure. Along the same lines of
second, the linebackers, take the second half under. Sorry, go ahead.
Along the same lines as like Amel McCurry Ball at linebacker, Tariq Castro Fields, 6th round pick this year, cornerback. I'm guessing a practice squad guy, but you know, barring injury, but he's going to be somebody that is probably going to be in the mix more next year.
Yeah.
And so maybe that's, you know, that's a situation that bears monitoring at cornerback, because, you know, Dante Johnson, you feel pretty good about Dante Johnson making the team. Yeah.
Yeah. Unless Tariq Castro Field just goes out and dominates in games.
Right. And Dante Johnson like can't just look washed. Right.
Sure.
But like, you think you're probably keeping 5 or 6 corners because Dante,
I think it's 6 on my last 53, man.
Because Dante is one of the few guys that they have that can play inside and out. Mm-hmm. And just his overall experience. And
he can play safety.
Yeah, and he can play safety. Like, you feel, I'm sure he's probably the favorite for the 5th cornerback spot. But if just by chance he's washed or he gets hurt or there's an injury elsewhere, Castro Fields would certainly make a lot of sense. As a back end of the roster guy. So just he's a guy to watch, and he'll probably play a lot. I would imagine Tariq Castro Fields plays like the majority of the game.
Yeah. Cause he's a guy that they probably just need to see him play and on tape.
Yeah.
He's big and athletic, but can he cover somebody?
Kadar Holman.
TBD.
Kadar Holman maybe in the same boat.
He might start.
Yeah, he's gotten some first team reps here and there with Wardell Moseley and Charvarius Ward sitting out.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means, but you know.
It's interesting for sure.
Sure,
kinda.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting.
Okay.
It's interesting in the context of the first preseason game.
Yeah, if you say so.
And trying to suss out the cornerback depth chart.
What do you need to see from Tabor Pepper in this one?
I wouldn't even play him.
So do you think John Lynch erred by not bringing in a camp snapper to keep
Daniel Brunskill? He can play 6 positions on the line, including long snapper.
No, I think our guy Tabor is going to come on the podcast at some point.
If he doesn't, if he doesn't come on the pod before the regular season, and I hope he hears this. If Tabor Pepper doesn't come on this podcast before the start of the regular season, I am going on a crusade to get his Madden rating down to 25.
He is.
I will not sleep.
He is stuck into his take on the gorillas would beat grizzly bears in a fight thing. Like he's unwavering.
Okay. He does have like a really well-trained German shepherd.
Which is neither a grizzly bear or a silverback gorilla.
No, totally. But it gives him some credibility in the animal field. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
I'm inclined to hear out what he has to say.
Yeah. My take is like the most fence straddling take ever. The more that I've thought about it. Because my take has evolved to it depends on the grizzly bear and the silverback. Just like not every human
can
win a fight against, you know, somebody like there's
it's a matchup
level.
Thing.
Yeah, right, it's a matchup thing. There's not the same level of fight in every human. So right. I can't imagine there's the same level of fight in every right. silverback and every grizzly
bear. How good is that grizzly bear stand up? Right.
Yeah. Yeah,
like, nature versus nurture.
Are they training? Does one of them have a screw loose? You know, these are all questions that we don't have answers to. So, but I'm generally taking a grizzly bear.
Hey, the next time
just going in generalities.
The next time somebody asks you this question, I need you to be like, be more specific. Let's break this down.
Where are they fighting? What's the weather like?
Totally.
Are they in a jungle or are they in the high Sierras?
Yeah. All these things matter. All these things make a difference. In a desert, yeah. Who wins?
Which one's more hydrated?
Totally. Is the gorilla catching grizzly post-hibernation or pre-hibernation?
What? Like when's the last
bear's
time
a little
they
groggy.
Ate?
This is so dumb. We've done this far too long. I don't have a lot else to say about.
So you're picking the Niners tomorrow.
Yeah, I got the Niners to cover.
Wow.
Yep.
Big time W in Trey Lance's preseason.
Yeah, watch for the line to move after that prediction.
No, it'll be fun. Like there are, as much as I generally despise the preseason, there are interesting players to watch and just see how they're used and just where they're at in their overall development. So yeah, it'll be telling. And I think the fact that there are three preseason games now instead of four, I think that makes preseason games a little bit more interesting.
Totally.
Because the first preseason game when there were four, just like you knew like, okay, this doesn't matter at all.
Like, right, not even from like a roster standpoint.
There are zero interesting things that could happen aside from somebody getting hurt.
So I forgot what I was gonna say.
Hell subscribe, yeah. Rate, and review.
Dude, do it immediately for more analysis like that.
Yeah. Tabor.
Hell yeah.
Tabor Pepper, come on the pod.
On the pod. You don't know what to be mad. Mad.
It's happening daily. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. Time is short before something big happens, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure 4-week emergency food kits for each member of your family. Each kit contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Save $50 on each 4-week food kit you purchase. Plus, get free shipping on Ready Hour 4-week emergency food kits. You're not ready if it's not Ready Hour foods. At My Patriot Supply, you can also get solar power generators, water filtration units, heirloom seeds, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m., and your unmarked boxes ship the same day. Shop MyPatriotSupply.com today. MyPatriotSupply.com.